Hello everybody, my name is Ron, and this is Ron's Guide to Talk for Wednesday, 16th of June, 2021. Again, one day late. Big shout out to procrastination. I'm kind of procrastinating most of the day. It seems like I can't seem to get up early enough and get stuff done early enough. But hey, we're getting this episode done and dropped out. It's out today now on Wednesday. But obviously we have a lot of things to talk about, including plenty of new devices that have come out. The Realme GT is available globally, but at a price that you'd definitely be surprised to hear, you know. And nothing special, but you'll be surprised. I'll let you know as we start it. And then we've got a lot to talk about, potentially some news about new Samsung phones coming. Nothing to do with the Note, because we already heard a lot about why the Galaxy Note 21 is not really coming out already. Long story short, chip shortages, Google it. But aside from that, obviously towards the end, we're going to probably talk about what's happened over at E3. Because, you know, I've followed the E3 gaming event for a long, long time, obviously, since the previous console generation. This year, though, I've kind of slacked on watching a lot of the events, sort of, maybe because, again, good old procrastination, who knows. But anyways, let's get right in to Mountain's Gadget, to talk about some gadgets, starting with the Realme GT. So, I probably need no mention or repeating that we've kind of already talked about the Realme GT on the show when it launched in China, the China spec, and it is quite the flagship that it is. And now Realme have launched the GT worldwide, in Europe, in the Middle East, obviously in Asia, in key markets where Realme is based in. And let's just say that it'll probably be one of the cheapest Snapdragon 888 based phones able to get. Yes, the global variant of the Realme GT will feature a Snapdragon 888, 120Hz OLED display, 8 to 12 gigabytes of RAM, 128 or 256 gigabytes of storage, 4500 milliamp hour battery, 65 watt fast charging, and 64 megapixel main camera. And you get a headphone jack. Cool, great, and nice to have in 2021 because wireless audio has not gotten better. But aside from that, it's almost a similar set of specs to the China variant of this phone, so you're not really missing out on that much. But it is quite a stunning phone, and yes, you get Google services. Now, let's get cut straight to the action. The global variant of the Realme GT will be available from Realme's site in select markets and from various online retailers, places like AliExpress and Amazon, in three stunning colors: dashing silver, dashing blue, and racing yellow, which is what the GT kind of comes in. It looks really nice. It has this kind of... It's got this kind of texture, and then there's a black kind of... It's a bit like the Poco M3. Kind of have to compare it to Poco Redmi. Anyways, so the Realme GT will start regularly. There's going to be a base spec of the phone. Base spec, 8 gigabytes of RAM, 120 gigabytes of storage, will be available at a regular price of 449 euros, or around $545. Whereas you can get the maxed out variant of the phone for 599 euros, or around $726. Now that's a pretty penny. That's a pretty premium price for a flagship phone. Given that they were claiming before, according to Android Authority, that the global device would have the same prices in China. So it seems like for the maxed out tier, they probably have added a good markup. But the regular version I'm not surprised at the price. It's almost accurate, around 500 euros, because they're bringing it across the world and they're probably going to mark it up a bit. So I'm genuinely not surprised at this. It's quite a bump. But interestingly, they're doing special offers if you want to buy the phone at a pretty good price. So the base spec will be available instead of 449 euros, or around $550 ish. You're able to get it on AliExpress from June 21st to 25th, next week pretty much, at a price of, get this, 369 euros. around $447. Now, $447 is quite a powerful price, given the specs you're getting here. Under 500, like comfortably under 500 euros. Now, if you don't care about whatever storage you get, do bear in mind that there's no micro SD card slot, so you'll have to figure that out. You might as well have to store your stuff in the cloud and stuff, or use Google Drive if you can. But for base spec, it's not bad, man. What you're getting here is a good deal. Again, if you don't honestly don't mind storage and you don't mind, you know, not excessively using the 120 gigabytes of storage, that all that much, it's a good price. I mean, 369 euros is pretty good. Now, if I could do a currency calculation, as I always tend to pronounce it, first, let's just 369 euros. Yeah, so if you're in Pakistan, this phone would basically cost about 70,000 rupees, and that's not even including taxes or import duties or anything of that sort, or you know, or certification, as they say, so it would run on local mobile networks. So that's what you're probably looking to pay for if you're interested in a GT. But it's actually competitive. The a 888 for about 70,000 Pakistani rupees, and if you add up taxes, that's still competitive, you know, and shipping. If they ship it for free, then it's a good price. And if you're in India, it should cost you around 32,824 rupees, the Indian rupees. This is the Google conversion. Actual conversion will vary when you buy from AliExpress. It could be a bit different. And shipping, I'm not even including cost of shipping or import duties. You have to factor that in literally in the back of your head if you're buying this phone. It'll probably be a big purchase for some people. But it is quite a competitive price, to say the least, for the phone. Given that you're saving, you're not really saving that much, but you're saving, I mean, you're saving less than $100 ish on this, so it's a good price. I mean, so if you want to get a GT, do get it while the promotional offer is there next week, and some notification had to come in the middle. I don't know why. So I was just kind of checking like the base spec, and the weirdest part, in my personally speaking, is that well, the offer is next week, so you can get it at that price next week. Now they don't. Now Realme doesn't. Its official store does not ship phones to Bahrain. But it ships it to Pakistan. But then I checked, calculated the price, and it was kind of coming out to under 200 Bahraini dinars, under 200 BD for a Snapdragon 888 120Hz AMOLED display. I mean, that's like almost 40% off. No, 30% off. You get specs at 30% off, roughly. More than that, 35% off. But then I just checked the price of a Poco F3 off Noon, because they're not showing me selling their phones all over the world, pretty much, and including in the Gulf. They're selling their phone, the full lineup of phones. And let's just say that the Poco F3 is probably cheaper than the GT, even though the F3 features a Snapdragon 870, and probably now they've added some updates. I was genuinely interested in this phone, that's why I actually checked reviews, and one thing I saw was about the software. I'm sure they fixed it by now by patching, updating a patch, but oh well, that was interesting. If you are really interested in this AliExpress deal, do check out AliExpress. But you have to see the official Realme store on AliExpress. Not sponsored, just if you're interested. It's quite competitively priced, that's for sure. Moving on, while they're daring to leap in terms of offering an AIoT ecosystem, Realme did kind of announce that they were going to release a tablet and a laptop very soon. But I didn't talk further on it, but I did show off the laptop a little bit, showing that it's like the MacBook Air, almost, and it has two USB-C ports on its side, which is kind of fascinating. But I didn't talk anything further about it, aside from it's going to be coming really, really soon, I think. Realme did state that the Realme Pad is basically entertainment first device and has a slim form factor, which means that it's just it probably will be an affordable tablet, possibly, and it probably be built for content consumption more than, say, productivity or to be a laptop replacement. I said laptop replacement. Is that even a thing? It wasn't supposed to, I mean, Realme Tab is not supposed to be a laptop replacement per se, like the iPad Pro. But yeah, that was quite fascinating. And at the same, on the flip side, Realme Watch and Watch 2 and Watch 2 Pro have launched in Europe, and the smartwatches feature a bunch of interesting features. So the regular watch has over 90 sports modes, heart rate monitoring, blood oxygen tracking, sleep tracking, IP68 water and dust resistance, live watch faces, and typical smartwatch features that you probably know if you've bought a wearable in the last 2 years, including, you know, you can link up your phone and get SMS alerts, so yeah. And on the flip side, there's a Pro variant of the Realme Watch 2, which features 14 days of endurance. I don't know what that means, battery probably. 1.75-inch colored screen, integrated GPS. And then the regular one does not have GPS and has a smaller 1.4-inch display and 12 days of battery life, possibly. Aside from that, the regular Watch 2 from Realme will set you back €55 approximately, or about $67. But the Realme Watch 2 Pro would set you back €75 or about $91, and will be available today, kind of, if through Amazon and Realme's site in Europe. And the flip, also, speaking of their AIoT ecosystem, they announced a robot vacuum cleaner. Seems now that the ninth bajillionth brand on Earth, to make a robot vacuum cleaner. But here's the interesting part. You get LiDAR support, sweeping and mopping, customizable cleaning plans, and a 300 milliliter water tank, which means you can do mopping while cleaning up. Also, you can switch modes. This actually did come out over a year ago. This is not a game changing, cutting edge innovation. Robot vacuum cleaner now it can mop and clean and suck out dust for a living. No, it can do both. There are a lot of robot vacuum cleaners that can do that. Here's the interesting thing, though. I mean, it's called the Tech Life Robot Vacuum, and this is going to be available in Europe only. This is interesting. You're only able to buy it on AliExpress from today, of course, and it'll cost €300 or $362. Now, if you do good enough searching and you do your research on through AliExpress or GearBest, you should be able to get, or even Amazon, you should be able to get a good robot vacuum cleaner for that kind of price. As I said, it has the Realme name on it, so it really is leaping forward in that regard, if you know what I mean. As we got new gadgets to talk about, we gotta have to talk before Honor launches its Honor 30 series, Honor 50 series. I was about the 30 series. I don't know why I said 30 series. Before Honor is about to announce the Honor 50 series of phones, they've showed off a new laptop, the Honor MagicBook X14 and X15, respectively, a 14 and 15 inch laptops. Again, one of those laptops that awfully looks like a MacBook Air. If you forget that it's an Honor laptop and that it runs Windows, it looks a bit like a MacBook. Interestingly, both laptops, 14, 15-inch variants, respectively, both feature the Intel Core i5-10-210U and Core i3-10-110U processors. You can get 18 or 16 gigabytes of DDR4 memory. I think it's soldered mostly, and 256 or 512 gigabytes of NVMe SSD storage. So blazing fast load times. Windows opens in like what, 10 seconds? Yeah, that's how fast it is. It's and best part, and interestingly, this is not a laptop. Now this is one of the first, obviously, ecosystem gear products that's coming outside of the Huawei. Honor being owned by Huawei, sort of Honor going independent as its own brand, going solo, as their first kind of ecosystem product in full. Now, interestingly, both laptops have a 56 watt hour battery, and as I said, both variants have a 16:9 1080p IPS display, so nothing revolutionary here. But more than everything, you get 65 watt USB-C power delivery charging, so you can get that if you want to. You have one USB-A port, USB-C, USB-A 2.0 ports, two USB ports basically, HDMI, and a headphone jack. More ports than a MacBook. At least you won't have to buy additional dongles for this, that's for sure. Now, interesting, there's no other information about this laptop launching on the markets, aside from that this laptop's launched in Russia, and it's going to cost around 50,000 rubles for the 14-inch variant. That's about $690. Nice pricing right there. And the MateBook X15 will set you back 53,000 Russian rubles, or $730, and you're able to get it today. You should be able to get it through AliExpress and all relevant retailers. So that's something to look forward to in that sense. It's got an interesting laptop from Honor. They do release it in the Middle East, sort of. I'd love to check it out for myself. I'd love to see what's so good about these laptops. And a lot of people are making, a lot of companies are making these kind of ultrabook-esque. Like, there's Chewy, there's Huawei, there's Xiaomi, Redmi, Realme's about to drop its own, Honor. Infinix has got its own laptop, and I talked about it last week, so that's crazy. So there are a lot of brands, in that regard. I think competition is good for everyone. There should be more choice. It shouldn't be that confusing. It should be a differentiator. I mean, you don't have to spend an arm and a leg. This is well priced for what it is. It's appropriately priced for what it is. And finally, the other new gadget that's kind of come out in the last couple of days is some new Beats. It's been a long time since Beats by Dre obviously was bought up by Apple, part of Apple. It's great. Apple has continued to release some Beats audio gear. And especially the best part is that it's one of the only sort of non-Apple branded audio gear products, you could say. Non-AirPods really, that have the that chip that lets you do easy instant pairing and controls and everything. So now they have a brand new product, the Beats Studio Buds, which is you could already pre-order it, and it'll be shipping June 24th, and it costs $150. Now this is obviously similar to the AirPods in terms of price and specs, and it offers one feature that the AirPods Pro does offer at a slightly lower price, and that is ANC, but not the heavy kind of active noise cancellation. Obviously it's a little bit compared to the AirPods Pro. So interestingly enough, it doesn't say much about features, but you have ANC and transparency mode available, so that's pretty cool. And the best part of it all is you can control it through iOS on your iPhone. So if you have an iPhone, this probably is a good affordable earbud to consider purchasing. And you get a lot of controls and settings of the AirPods easily, so that's interesting. These earbuds have actually been leaked before. Folks like LeBron were seen wearing them, because Beats is heavily associated with sports. Folks like Daniel Ricciardo. I'm trying to think of another one. LeBron James, quite famous folks who wear Beats. So it kind of got leaked. Interestingly enough, this would support spatial audio with Dolby Atmos automatically, so you don't have to do anything additionally, so that's pretty cool. And you could charge through USB-C. It's got it's got 24-hour battery life in the battery case, but overall the buds could give you 8 hours of listening time overall. So that's that. It's quite interesting of a product. First Beats audio gear product in a while. It'll be available in the US from June 24th, and it should be available from July 2nd in other countries. So that's that, really. Quite interesting trip, nonetheless. So that's pretty much all the new stuff that we've covered, kind of, if you think about it. This next tidbit of Apple news, you could say, is quite surprising, and you'd be baffled. But basically, there's some brand new iMacs, 2021 model iMacs, that are being shipped, and they're literally crooked. It's like sort of tilted by about, and this is mentioned here, roughly by about 1 millimeter between the right and left side. So it's literally, crooked. You know, so it's been mounted, but it's at a slight edge. So it's almost, it's crooked. It's crazy. And apparently, YouTuber iFundu posted a review and about the iMac. And one thing he mentioned was that, I seen this, didn't see the video, but I'll link it if you want to watch it in the show notes. And interestingly, he found out, he kind of found, noticed that his computer, that his iMac sort of has slightly tilted to one side. And it was also proved by putting up a ruler around the iMac. So it was literally crooked by about a whole millimeter, which is crazy. And then, obviously others started to complain. Someone in the Apple support community complained that they also had a similar issue like this. And I obviously, after watching Fundu's video, was kind of convinced that it literally was crooked. Apparently, this could be a manufacturing issue, and users cannot fix it. But interestingly enough, I think, I mean, we really don't know how bad this really is. It could be a problem shipping or something. If it really is that bad, I think Apple should probably help everybody and exchange the iMac spec like for like for a new straight iMac. This is a serious issue. But until then, obviously, if you just purchased your iMac, you got shipped out, as it is with Apple, they did ship out stuff really, really quickly. If there's something wrong right now and there's time to return it, go back and change it out. Maybe you'll able to get a better, you're probably able to get a better version. Who knows? So that's that, really. It's quite crazy. Do your research. If there's something wrong, get Apple to fix it for you. If it's not by design, or if shipping did not cause this, then it's a fault. So Apple should accept a fault easily. So let's see. This probably looks like a minor issue. It seems like it's not user fixable, weirdly, so that's that. Switching over to some interesting insider tip. Chinese OEMs are testing out a new Qualcomm chip that Qualcomm themselves have not announced. But the weather tipster disclosed that this enhancement on the upcoming chipset may be more than the Snapdragon 865 or 865 Plus, so it'll probably be much, much faster. And apparently, there essentially is a new 4-nanometer chip that Qualcomm's making, and it's codenamed. There's a code name for this, the SM8450, as it's mentioned. Apparently, it's already getting sampled. It's getting sampled by major phone makers in China, so they're probably readying models based on the chip soon. And apparently, Qualcomm is looking to announce this new chip probably by the second half of this year. Towards the end of the year, they'll probably have this chip ready out on phones that probably launch in the second half of this year. Now, apparently, this features a new ARMv9 architecture with a Kiro 780 cores, Adreno 730 GPU, Adreno 665 video processing unit, and Adreno 1195 display processing unit, and Spectra 680 ISP for image processing, interestingly. So and this upcoming chip could come feature an X65 modem and the FastConnect 6900 chip, so it could be much faster than the Snapdragon 888, weirdly enough. So it might be readying a model based on it. So that's interesting, to say the least. And we got another day, and another phone is already launched. The Nord N200 is already here. Now, I've kind of mentioned last week that the N200 is almost kind of revealed to PC Magazine, so they kind of talked about it a bit. OnePlus's current CEO kind of mentioned it. But now it's coming to the US. It's a $240 5G capable phone. It apparently, this is a refresh of the rehash of the Oppo A93. And you're missing something like a physical alert slider and all that kind of stuff. But what you kind of miss, you get is a fingerprint sensor on the corner, 5,000 mAh battery, triple lens camera on the back, a large display with 90 Hz refresh rate, and more specifically a 6.49 inch LCD Full HD Plus 90 Hz display, a Snapdragon 480, like before. 4 GB of RAM, 64 GB of storage. You have micro SD card slot out there. 5,000 mAh battery, 18-watt fast charging. USB-C, headphone jack, and micro SD. Pretty good for the US market from the looks of it. And a 13-megapixel wide sensor, 2-megapixel depth, 2-megapixel macro, and 60-megapixel wide. And obviously the 5G in this phone will only run on sub-6 bands, which are mid-band 5G from the looks of it. It runs Android 11 and would cost $240. And you're able to buy it from OnePlus's website and obviously from T-Mobile, which will carry the phone. And it's basically out next week, so on June 25th. So if you're looking to get a phone under $300, then this is something definitely to look forward to. So really pushing things forward in that regard. So this next bit is interesting. We're going to talk about Samsung for the next couple of minutes, so hold on tight. We're unpacking a lot because Samsung is going to be doing an Unpacked event. But guess what's not going to be coming at an Unpacked event? The Samsung Galaxy S21 FE Fan Edition, which is interesting. Because there was a leaked photo that showed like all the products that would want to be launched in Samsung's mobile division, and the S21 FE was supposed to launch in August, and now we're hearing reports that this could the phone could be launching in the fall, in September, October. Now there are probably two reasons. First reason is that Samsung wants to market its foldables. They've worked very hard on these foldables. A big upgrade from the previous ones. It'll be available everywhere, and so it'd be stupid for Samsung in that regard to essentially bring up the S21 FE, a phone that could basically be $800 or something like that, and people would end up picking that up instead of the foldable. So it seems like Samsung's looking to put more focus on foldable devices because now they're going to be everywhere, and the world's opening back up, so you know, people are looking to get a cool little new phone. So that probably could be happening. And then another reason basically could be the global chip shortage. As you may notice it, major graphics cards, games consoles, laptops, you know, pickup trucks, they've not been able to get off the production line because the chips needed to produce them are coming in quite short supply. And so those chips are coming at a higher price, and hence, you know. But Samsung denied it, saying that they've not halted the production of the phone or delaying it because of the shortage. Probably, I'm sure that they're still looking to launch in August. Even if they use standard parts, an 870 and something, or Exynos equivalent, it's Samsung's own chips. They're supplied, they secured the supply probably, so nothing to worry about really. But interestingly, the Z Fold 3 and the Z Flip 3 could launch on August the 3rd, but obviously, we could expect it in the first or second week of August, and we could expect to see Galaxy Watch 4 and Galaxy Buds 2. And yes, there's no note. Samsung looking to focus on the foldables, which is interesting. And speaking of foldables, these two foldables would be going on sale potentially on August 27th, again according to Yonhap News, which again is bringing information on this. We've seen a lot about these devices. They've been leaked a lot, the renders already of the devices. The foldables could be launching in 2 months' time, in August. Genuinely cannot wait. So there'll probably be a big, big upgrade compared to a lot of phones out there. But speaking of phones, the S22 series, the S22 and S22 Plus could be just made out of plastic, and they're going to be adding glass or metal. And apparently, they're looking to, again, this is according to a tipster in South Korea, that Samsung's looking to use a new brand new processing technology to create the back cover of the S22 and S22 Plus. And rumors suggest that both devices will be covered will be made of plastic instead of glass, whereas the S22 Ultra will feature glass only, which is interesting. Currently, the S21 Plus and S21 Ultra have glass backs, whereas the S21 has polycarbonate. This is quite fascinating, potentially. I don't know about you, this is quite subjective, frankly. I think with durability and scratch tests, plastic would work well, but glass is more premium, and these devices are pretty expensive already, so it would be nice to have glass, but I'm sure Samsung's looking to, you know, say the environment, and you know, glass is durable and they're scratch proof. We don't really know what the reason is, so yeah, that could be the case, probably. You know, they could be the durability story, so yeah. Alright, this is the last phone mobile story possibly, but Xiaomi is working on another foldable. We've already seen the Mi Mix Fold, which is an interesting foldable. I mean, cool device from Xiaomi. Imagine a Mi 11 and the Galaxy Fold had a kid, and Mi Mix Fold would be that kid. And now there's a new version, then there's the next variant of this foldable that's coming out, and apparently this could feature a Snapdragon 888, 5000 mAh battery, 108 megapixel camera, improved hinge, and the foldable itself would have an inward hinge and have two displays, one on the inside and one on the outside as usual. And the inner display would have 120Hz refresh rate, built by Samsung, so that could be an OLED possibly. And a smaller one, an outer one, would have a 90Hz display made by a company that I've never heard of called Visionox, which is weird. We don't know much else about this new Mi Mix Fold device, so probably this could be a global foldable that Xiaomi offers, while Samsung is dropping a new Z Fold and Z Flip. Who knows? So can't wait for this foldable in that regard. This next story is related to technology in general and just the technology world, and really kind of one of these stories that we're now starting to hear from the pandemic that's happened. And I don't know if you'd probably say that it's just how passionate data server folks are, or maybe that's just the circumstances they were in. I mean, just they were hit with this issue and they kind of got through it. They got through the pandemic in that regard. But basically, this story was kind of trending all over the place. So it kind of starts out with a Microsoft executive talking to Morgan Stanley analysts, Kristen Robbie Dimlow, corporate VP for Total Rewards Performance and Human Resources Business Insights at Microsoft. Basically, and I'll quote her words here, I heard amazing stories about people actually sleeping in data centers. And obviously, CNBC wrote up about this, which is interesting. In certain countries, there are huge lockdowns, and so we would have our own employees choose to sleep in the data center because they're worried they'd get stuck at a roadblock trying to go home, she said. Now, weirdly enough, it seems like everyone's surprised, or people are surprised. But the fact that there were some Microsoft engineers who probably were looking at the circumstances of obviously the difficulty of getting back to their homes, or probably wanted to keep Microsoft servers going in that there's an expansive amount of data demand. They don't wanted the machines to obviously break up, and they needed to be there at all times, interestingly enough. And obviously this was the executive obviously talking to Morgan Stanley analyst Josh Baer and Mark Carlucci. In certain countries there was huge lockdowns, and so we would have our own employees choose to sleep in a data center because they were worried that they'd get stuck at a roadblock trying to go home. Now, CNBC made a good point that generally data centers are not places where people should really be sleeping, not the actual where the server racks are. Aisles can be hot from air coming off of servers, and cold because of air conditioning to prevent machines overheating. It'll probably be a nice place to sleep, not gonna lie. But interestingly, some industry site has mentioned that large data centers essentially designed with a lot of contingencies, essentially allowing their engineers over there to sort of exist, be on site all the time, and really be there, stay there really when natural disasters are to come. I gave an example of how in Texas, when obviously early this year, when there was a power outage in Texas because of a storm, you know, some of the data center employees basically stayed around and even had access to bedding and showers and all that kind of stuff. But interestingly enough, another Microsoft executive, Noel Walsh, explained also that they changed how things worked at their data centers really during the pandemic. They allowed the employees to get transportation to and from data centers, and even allowed people to stay in hotels also, you know, and to take work from full-time shifts to like part-time shifts, like night shifts and stuff. That, I mean, honestly, this, again, I'm surprised that there are engineers in these data centers that are willing to work very hard. That's good of them. And more than everything, stay at the data center. It's not a cool place to be, really. But I'm sure that obviously if their data centers are massive, then you know, then they probably might have gotten a place to sleep, put in the office. So that's interesting. It is quite fascinating. Not gonna lie, this is interesting. You know, I don't know what to say really. I think it's the circumstance. Let's face it. I mean, the coronavirus was spreading like bananas. It was March. If this was in March and April, not surprised. This was a circumstance. You had no choice. You kind of, and given where Microsoft's data centers are, I mean, if you kind of stepped out and, you know, went out in the open, it was kind of hard to get around. And again, there were restrictions and stuff, so made sense that they had to take this kind of decision. And you know, these decisions are not easy. I mean, it's not easy to be away from home, and you could go and work from home and be at home and stuff. So. It's quite extraordinary stuff. This is not gonna be the last time we're gonna hear about how people survived the pandemic or the first lockdowns that happened. So yeah, this is the point where I'd probably talk further, and I kind of wanted to talk about everything that kind of was announced at E3. But I think if we probably start talking about everything that came out at E3, it would probably take the show to over an hour. So I put it in a bonus episode, so put it straight after this. So go listen to that if you want to know about everything that came out at E3, as much as I've tried to, you know, push it in. But yeah, what do you think of everything you've heard today? Let me know on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at @Sade_Mao99. Follow me there if you can. Share this show to your friends and family. Please leave a review of the show on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe if you can, wherever you're listening to podcasts. And yeah, till probably Friday or something. I'll probably be on Twitter, because, you know, these past couple of days have been crap, and I've been feeling crap, and I've procrastinated a lot and stuff. Probably on Friday I'll drop another episode of Mounds Gadget Talk. But yeah, till the next episode, you know, take care, stay safe, and I'll see you hopefully with another episode of Mom's Gadget Talk. Stay safe, peace, thanks for listening, and ciao. All right, ciao.